Father God, thank you so much for this day. Father, thank you for the gifts of the individuals that are leading us to worship.
Sure, I'm glad James got outvoted on that.
Father, thank you for this beautiful building and this beautiful day. Father, thank you that you have protected us from the severe storms that are hitting the valley.
And in God's perfect providence, the great primer for the message this morning on redemption.
Bless your glorious name. Father, last week, our time of worship,
we celebrated Easter.
Hearts,
we celebrated the rising
of our lives on worshiping the one true God.
Of the King
we thank you, we
of all
you,
kings.
Amen.
Amen. Would you guys stand up with
as
us?
As his disciples so quickly learned, he had no intentions of staying there.
They
had opportunities.
Said to him, go, for this man
is my chosen instrument to take my name to the Gentiles, the kings, and the Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. So Ananias left and entered the house. Then he placed his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were traveling, has sent me so that you can regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. At once, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Quite a story of redemption. Kind of makes James' story of redeeming very real and tangible for us. See, Saul was young. He was headstrong. He had a task. He was focused on the task, and he was going after it. His authority, however, was somewhat limited to Jerusalem. You know, it would have required letters from the Sanhedrin, from the chief priests, for him to have authority outside of Jerusalem. The Romans allowed the Sanhedrin to have a certain amount of authority over matters of religious law. It wasn't something that they could go and arrest somebody for something outside of what they claimed to be religious law. And Saul was targeting those of the way. They were. This was a title that the Romans and the Jews, because Christ himself in John 14, 6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he said, I am the way. That caught on, and a lot of the followers the way. Saul is being aggressive. He's traveling. He's very strategic. He's going to travel from the bunch of guys, he's going to bring them back to Jerusalem. So he travels the 6-day trip. It was probably getting close to midday. Sometime between 12 and 3. They were very specific. Saul would stop for morning worship. He would stop for midday worship. And then he would travel on to that final worship in Damascus. So as he's traveling along with the death, imagine we're in the middle of the desert.
In light.
So this bright light, brighter than the sun, is flashing. And it is so young, and it literally knocks Saul over. Then it was an opportunity for him to face to face. In verse 4, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting? Jesus
comes out on me.
It wasn't like he was genuinely happy, like he was running. What Jesus wanted Saul to do was to search his heart. He wanted Saul to say, why am I persecuting? What's the purpose? Why am I doing it? Jesus didn't need an answer. He didn't expect an answer. He already knew the answer. The question was more for Saul than it was for Jesus.
Father, thank you so much for
and if you'll notice, it says, I am Jesus, the one that you were persecuting. Jesus was not an uncommon name back then.
Every single person that
however, Jesus knew that he didn't need
Father,
to say Jesus
to
Christ.
You,
it was implied.
Fill our hearts with love
it was
for
implied.
Each other and for you. And Jesus, name
Jesus knew
Amen.
That Saul would know exactly who he was talking about. So he makes Saul blind, but doesn't leave him that way. He doesn't leave him that way. He gives him instructions. He said, but get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. It wasn't a matter of Jesus punishing Saul. That wasn't the purpose. What he wanted Saul to see was how broken and how hopeless and how helpless he was without Jesus. That was the purpose of it. So it goes on to say that the men who were traveling stood speechless. They heard a sound, but they saw nothing. The message that God had was for Saul, not for his guys. And as Saul stood up and opened his eyes, he realized that he was blind. I can only imagine how that must have felt. You know, this guy was well respected. He had been empowered and he was headstrong. This great student of the law, this empowered leader of men, is now literally being led by hand into a city, helpless and hopeless. As Saul got up and went into Damascus, it says that he was unable to see for 3 days and did not eat or drink. It's not clear whether the fact that Saul did not eat and drink was a response to the shock, if it was a period of fasting. I happen to believe that it was the fact that when God left him in that condition, he did not desire for Paul to seek anything but him. He was hopeless, he was helpless, and he wanted Saul's undivided attention. Had Saul tried to eat, he would have not been fulfilled. Had Saul tried to drink, he would have still been thirsty. So then we come to God's other instrument. It says, there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. It's very likely that Ananias, when the original persecution of the church began, that he fled. A lot of believers fled Jerusalem the minute the heat got turned up. They were seeking something a little bit more comfortable. And the Lord says to him, Ananias, and in my Bible, in many scripture, it calls out Ananias' name with an exclamation point. An exclamation point. Well, Ananias wouldn't have needed to be yelled at, and nor did God need to yell at Ananias. But what I think happened was, it was like a military sergeant calling one of his privates to duty. Ananias! Barking out a name, Ananias. And Ananias, responsibly, like a good soldier, says, I am here. Here I am, Lord. Ananias knew that Jesus knew where he was at. Ananias knew that. What Ananias' response was, is that, here I am. What do you need, sir? It was a call to action, and he said, I'm ready to go. He says, get up and go to the street called Straight. That street can still be found today. It's not in the exact location that it was then, but it's Darb el Mostakeen, and it's probably about 600 to 700 yards west of where the original Straight Street was. But God was giving him specific instructions. God had a specific plan, so he gave him specific instructions. He says, get up and go to the street called Straight, to the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. I can only imagine how that stirred Ananias. Remember, he was fleeing Jerusalem because of persecution. Saul's reputation had gotten around. There wasn't a lot of Saul of Tarsus out there. So when he said, go to that street and go to that house and ask for that man, I imagine it was like, I'm totally going to do that. Except for, it wasn't that simple for him. Ananias was not sure that the GPS coordinates were right. Thank you. of Saul's conversion. Jesus had started the work on the road. He had made this proud and well-educated man hopeless. But he promised this man he would not
leave him.
That he had created blind.
Just so that you guys know, I was outvoted on this one.
When we're absent of a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we're failing to know, we're failing to do, we're failing to participate in the very thing that we were created to do. We are absent of purpose. We're absent of all focus. We're absent of the things that God created us to do. So now we're running in place, we're wasting a lot of energy. We're not really doing anything.
Seems like all I could see was a struggle.
As Saul sat there and realized that he couldn't even.
normally have met his desires.
In the shackles of all my sins.
There was a void in him that he couldn't fill. And that void was
today. How long is this going to last?
As you begin to see the Holy Spirit,
and you look at this, they'll
tell you about how
they to me, I'm fighting a fight that's already been won.
That's that void.
I am
that unbelievable void. No matter what they do, if they could do something to you, they've already done.
Off these heavy chains, wipe away everything. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
Even believers fall into that. We get caught up in trying to fill our void with money.
Oh, with my life, I have been called
to walk away from God's will, and we're seeking these things. We may actually achieve them.
My shame and
will
regret.
Never be able to fill that void.
But when I hear you whisper, John, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet.
An instrument to convert
him. I am redeemed.
Scripture says that Saul was my chosen instrument to take my name.
So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be.
To get him into the fold of God. And we shouldn't be forgotten sometimes we're in time. The difference is, it's
because I don't have to be an old man inside of me. This day is long dead and gone. Because I've got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same. The hope that will carry me home.
And the first thing that Ananias revealed to us is sometimes we are an agent of
uncomfortable. You set me free.
I don't want to be.
So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away everything. I'm not who I used to be.
A house with someone who has been known
redeemed.
To murder Christians. Absolutely
thank
not.
God.
But much like Ananias reveals to us in his example, Ananias had to trust that God had a plan and a purpose.
Thank you, guys.
Ananias said, if God is going to bring me to this circumstance, whatever it is, God has a plan and a purpose for that circumstance. It's not accidental. So sometimes we're the agent of uncomfortable circumstances. Sometimes we're the agent of unrecognizable love. Now that is a confusing statement. What do you mean unrecognizable? Isn't that counterintuitive to Scripture, Joe? Doesn't Jesus say, you will know my followers by the way that they love? So what in the world do we want unrecognizable love for? Well, see, it's important to understand that what we do, what we should do, and what Ananias modeled is not recognizable by the world. What the world looks like as love is things that make sense. Brothers and sisters and like-minded people and people who are comfortable and people that you're always dealing with. They don't understand and they cannot comprehend the type of love that Ananias shows when he says, Brother Saul. The logic of our world says that if we had someone who was a known enemy who could hurt us and kill us, the last thing that we're going to do is walk up and with a term of endearment go, Brother Saul. But we can be agents of an unrecognizable love. We can make that unrecognizable love very, very recognizable by making it tangible. By loving even when it's not easy. By loving when it doesn't make sense. By forgiving someone who you don't believe deserves forgiveness. You've been hurt. You've been drugged. They've attacked your family. They've attacked your morals. They've attacked your character. Why would you ever love that person, says the world? No, the world says, no, I want my pound of flesh. I want my revenge. That's what I want. That's what they recognize. And what we can be is an agent for unrecognizable love. We can take something that doesn't make sense and make it make sense. The third thing we can do is we can be an agent of unconditional salvation. We can be an agent of unconditional salvation. I know a lot of people who have told me, Joe, you don't understand what I've done. You don't understand the thoughts I think. You don't understand the actions and the words that I've said. You don't know how far I've gone away from what God wants, what God says. I want to be a part of that. And then I say, have you murdered anyone? Well, no. Tell me, are you an adulterer? Well, no, I would never do anything that bad. Guess what? God used a murderer to deliver His people. God used an adulterer to deliver His people.
All right, just some quick announcements.
There is nothing
real quick.
That you can
we are not
do
having an evening worship
will,
tonight.
That will cause God to say
that
doesn't mean
we're not
evening
for
activities
me.
If the kids or somebody
that
wants to do anything.
That one's not for me.
But,
you've gone too far.
We've got two major conflicts. I can't be
there
here.
There is not
James.
An income level.
So else
there
like
is
to,
not
to
a race. There is not a demographic, and there is not a language restriction.
So we're going to be canceled. We'll continue our Christian discipline.
They don't look like you
next Sunday night. Also, we're going to do our fellowship
a little bit differently next week.
You guys have been absolutely amazing.
That's it.
It's not negotiable. You stepped up last
week. We can be agents of unconditional salvation.
Nothing short
what did Ananias do?
There was so much food and so many sides.
He went to a man who
had
been a part of murdering a follower.
We're not taking a break from fellowship, but I want to take a break from the hard work.
What did Jesus say? Did Jesus say, you know what, Ananias?
I just want to do like
never mind, I don't want
him. Chips fellowship.
Jesus said, no, that's exactly who I
want.
You know why? Because the only way that people are going to believe this message is authentic is if it comes from
we deserve a break. You guys have done an amazing job.
I want to show
the
world what redemption looks like, and I want to start with Saul of Tarsus.
So next week we'll be doing our fellowship meal, but instead
I want to start with someone who wanted to crucify me.
A quick reminder about our food bank.
Someone who wants to crucify my
followers. Those of you who may not know, we are actively involved
in
the Somerville County Food Bank. And
because
there is a
I
box
believe
by the,
that
by the
Saul of Tarsus is a valuable member of the
here
kingdom,
to fill that box
and
up,
the same is true
for us. And
we
did a great job. We've had some
when we look around at our
weeks.
Society and
so,
we look around at people and go, there is absolutely
you,
no way God can use that child
fill up.
There's absolutely no way God can use that group of people in those conditions to reach anybody. And that is a lie the world is telling you.
Let's fill up that box. That's our opportunity to tangibly be the hands and the feet of Christ. To
no
the folks out there who have a need.
One last thing, though, as a church family,
so,
sometimes we're
we
Paul.
Are just that. We're a family.
I mean, sometimes we're Saul.
You know,
we're not Paul yet. We'll get there.
Much like in our own
we're
families,
Saul.
There's going to be times
sometimes
when
we're Ananias.
You don't like what somebody did.
But either
you don't like
role,
how somebody talked
either
to you,
role, you must
or
understand,
you just don't see eye
was an
eye
instrument
they,
for God's plan.
It's just going to happen.
Jesus laid out
it's one of the byproducts of being
the instrument
family.
To reach the kings
last week,
and the Israelites.
There's a good chance
Gentiles.
That 90% of you will have no idea what I'm talking about.
Saul couldn't get there without the instrument.
The fact that I want to say it.
The instrument.
Last week,
Ananias,
I had an opportunity to deal with it. To deal with
so
the situation
what we see here is
and
that
respond
if we
out
accept
of
our role as being an instrument
if
of
God, responded
we
out of
can do
anger.
Unbelievable things.
I failed to respond.
The first thing we can do is
to
reach those that we thought were unreachable.
And instead,
when we put
pride.
When we put aside,
so, Miriam's not in
we
here,
put aside our
personal
preferences,
Lynn, I apologize
our level of comfort,
now,
and our and
that
our
being
level
said,
of
I
desire,
would apologize to this church
we
body.
Can reach people that we thought
let
were unreachable.
That.
I can't go to that community because I don't fit in.
Love and unity.
I can't go to that community because I don't think those people are the type of people that God wants in His church.
Expect.
Or when we set aside those things,
love and unity,
we realized that the only
unity.
Person who was limiting
and so
God
to this church body, I apologize for not modeling unity last week.
On a positive
God
note,
God is bigger than
Satan,
and we had
Satan
a wonderful worship with a ton of guests.
Not the whole
and
thing.
And so it was
back.
A wonderful day.
So thank
that's
you guys
what
so much for
to
do.
Do. Let me do a
the
final
second
prayer,
thing, God,
and then we'll be dismissed.
Has made us
Father
to
God,
do
thank you so much for
our call
Father,
as a
thank
tool
you
for
your
the kingdom.
Mercy.
We can show unconditional love to a conditional world.
His congregation shows me, Father,
I'll
help
only
us
forgive
to
you
model
if.
That grace and mercy to those around us.
Father, help
once
us
you've
be
served your time,
courageous.
Then I can let
as
you go.
Accept the mission
once you've
to be your
set
instruments
your,
for God.
Your, I'm sorry,
thank you,
I can
you,
let
Father.
You go.
Amen.
Once you have done whatever I need to feel better, then I can love you again.
Those are conditions that the world has put on our love. What makes us different as believers and followers of Christ is that we show unconditional love. There are not qualifiers. There are not variables. We are called to love. There is no appendix. There's no addendum. There's no next sentence. We are called to love. And when we allow God to use us as a tool and we separate ourselves from it, we can show love to an unconditional world. The third thing that we can do, the third thing that we can do is begin something special. This is the part that I'm most excited about. Because a lot of things in our world, we have no control over. We don't know what the economy is going to do. We don't know if we're going to get laid off tomorrow. We don't know where the world's going to be in a week. What we do know is that this type of change starts right here. Everybody in this room has an opportunity to be a part of something special. We have an opportunity to save our community. As we look around, finding who's going to be the one that starts this, who's going to be the catalyst for change, who's going to change the direction of our city and our state and our country, the answer is right here. We, church body, have the opportunity to be the catalyst for change. It's us. It's us. close our time of invitation. Father, I want to thank you for being present here today. Father, you are a mighty God. And Father, though you are a mighty God and the creator of heaven and earth, Father, you still seek an intimate and personal relationship with every one of us. And for that, Father, I thank you. Father, I want to take a moment to bless this body of believers, Father, and help them to encourage them, Father, that we have an opportunity every day to be made new, Father, and to go and be bold for you. And Father, I ask that you put that burden on their heart so that when we have an opportunity to speak your word and be your Ananias, Father, that we'll be open to that. We thank you, Father, and we love you. Amen.